It's Thursday, October 29th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 125, Hollow Whip. Runtime for this episode is 38 minutes. Hello and welcome to a very spooky last time you're going to listen to this podcast because it's cursed. My name is Germs. Are going to kill you and turn you into a zombie.
I'm Typhoid, apparently.
See, you might think that Zach is just bad at improv because I always tell you he is and can't think of anything, but Zach is actually so terrified right now that he cannot speak.
That's true.
Also, I'm under the impression that we should curse the podcast so that they can't stop listening to it.
That would actually make a lot more sense. And if we can, add another clause in there so that someone will give us money.
Just arbitrarily. I want money.
I mean, pro podcasting is a pretty sweet gig if you can do it, but I'm not Kevin Smith. Anyway, Zach, what have you been playing?
I watched some League of Legends Worlds.
So did I. All the American teams suck and we're exiled.
We had a team that was 3-0 going into the second week of groups. They needed to win one game to get out of groups.
Out of four.
They lost all four of them.
Sweet.
Convincingly.
And now Cloud9 goes away forever again.
Oh, well. So something that just bugged me about Magic canon is what happens to people who are cards, I guess, who are exiled? Where are they exiled to?
Another dimension.
Well,
presumably. I mean, in Yu-Gi-Oh! You can get stuff out of your banished pile and stuff like return from the different dimension. And Dimension Gate.
The old folks home.
Magic.
That is where they are exiled to.
That doesn't really seem like a path to exile. Well,
you've never been in an old folks home.
Yeah, so that is really kind of an excommunication.
Quick, Tyler, tell me where Napoleon was exiled and I'll make a historical joke.
Oh, God. I know.
The Isle of Sardinia.
Thank you.
The Isle of Sardinia. That's where they're exiled to.
Okay.
Ha 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 ha.
I've also been playing a lot of Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Did you finish that yet?
Nope.
I started that.
Oh.
I'm not sure I'm going to finish that.
I still really like it. I'm just working on it, trying to plow my way through it.
My biggest problem with it is that it's going for, like, obviously camp humor, but they're trying hard enough that it just misses the mark for me most of the time. Like,
that is the particular type of camp humor I really like.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. Like
how far did you get?
I actually got my favorite character and then stopped playing. It's a blue coat girl with, like, a bunch of...
Iffy?
Yes, thank you. I forgot her name. Yes. She's pretty cool. I like her. She's one of the redeeming qualities of the game thus far.
Well, she's like the straight man.
Yeah, she is. But I find Neptunia... Neptune? Do they just call her Neptune? Actually,
her name is Neptune.
Yeah, her name is Nep-Nep, actually. That's canon.
No, her actual name is Neptune. Everyone calls her Nep-Nep.
Oh, no. It comes off as kind of saccharine. I like Compa, except she's a little... I don't know.
There are a couple other ones that are still coming up. If you continue playing, like, Noir's actually basically a direct counterpoint to Neptune. Like I said, Vert is still best goddess.
I thought you said she was breast
goddess. Yeah, I did indeed.
I'm pretty sure you nominated her for breast goddess, so.
I was like, I have Google Image Search. I don't need to play a video game for that.
They've got a standard anime game style intro thing. And there's definitely a thing where, like, when she walks on screen, her boobs just start bouncing for no apparent reason.
So she's an exile from DOA.
Well, you actually watched the opener, right?
Yeah.
When they're talking about it, she gets called...
Yeah, she's like, what did you say?
I can see this game is very progressive.
Yes, it is.
It is basically four immortal hot women trying to dominate each other. And then they're like, you know what? We should all gain up against this one and limit the playing field a bit.
So on a scale from one to porn, DOA being like an 8.
Actually not, like, maybe a 4, a 3 even. Well, at least as far as I've gotten, apparently. Jeez.
No, Vert, well, I was going to say Vert is actually the only one I would say that even comes close
to
that.
There's some cheesecake, but it's not bad. It's not super cheesecake, so.
It is not
know.
Near DOA levels of cheesecake.
My problem is that Compa's victory animation is falling over for a panty shot.
Yeah, that's what I'm not a fan of. See, it's okay to have the really creepy scenes from Mega Man Legends where Mega Man runs into Roll in the bath and she's his weird sister girlfriend. That's okay.
But panty shots for no reason, that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, I'm trying to think. And
don't ask me why, that's just how I roll.
Having played through it a lot more...
That's how Mega Man rolls, too.
I can't think of anything. I remember the victory animation he's talking about. It never struck me as a panty shot for some strange reason.
No, I mean, I started ignoring it because I'm like, okay, well, that's how this game do.
Oh,
so.
I guess I did get Tekken and Marvel as a QL, and they...
What? Tekken and Marvel?
Marvel, yes. That is their names. There's also mages. But
someone is named Mages.
Yes. They are looking for the elusive beverage Doc P. That is their motivation, dude.
Yeah.
You know, every time I hear about this game, I want to play it. Then I actually play it. And, like, it's got a lot of interesting mechanics. It just...
See, I feel like Zach and I have swapped bodies, and now I'm, like, the strangely against this one.
It's actually, in my opinion, pretty fun. But if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's mostly, like, the writing falls flat for me is really the biggest thing, and I find neither language voice acting acceptable.
I would at least see if you can give it till you pick up Noir and see if that changes anything.
I might pick it back up again. I started playing it, and I'm like, I'm not in the mood for this particular game, because...
And if you're in the mood, if you need something campy, it really works out. Like, I've had a couple times where I'm having a particularly long, bad stretch of the other game I've really been playing, which is League. Jumping onto that game serves to help cool me off.
Anything else, Zach?
I had a really good game of League on Jace where I actually ended up dumpstering my lane opponent, getting like 5 kills on them, 1v1, Jace versus Fiora, and then later on in the game I actually 1v2'd their support and AD carry from about half health.
So you didn't play Teleport AD carry Jace?
No, I did not play Teleport AD carry Jace. I think Jason was playing AD carry.
So you're not as good as the best AD carry in the world.
Who's not in Worlds anymore.
Yeah, who totally lost playing AD carry Teleport Jace because reasons. So Tyler, what have you been playing besides porn?
I've actually been playing a game called Coin Crypt, which I picked up in like an indie game Humble Bundle 2 or 3 months ago. It is really fun. It is a roguelike where you collect coins, but the
really?
Coin... Yeah, I know.
In right? Crypts?
No, actually, surprisingly few crypts. There are crypts. You mostly are not in crypts unless you're smart and save your keys. Although the crypts are harder. Anyway, it kind of has like Minecraft-esque graphics. It's kind of like an overhead isometric view with really blocky style stuff. The main conceit of the game, though, is you're trying to collect as many coins as possible, but your coins are also the way you interact in combat. So it goes into kind of like an active time battle system where it's you versus random thing, but your coins are how you interact. So you have attack coins and defense coins. And
so sort of like they try to do a sticker star?
That
yeah,
sounds
kind
a
of.
Bit like the, what was it, like Phantasy Star Online 3 where it has all the cards that you're supposed to interact with?
So it's kind of like a deck building game.
Yeah.
You know, harkening back to cards.
So is it a little like Mega Man Battle Network then?
Kind of, except that when you use a coin, it's gone. Say you draw a hand and you're like, oh, this is all 3 of my attack tokens. It would definitely kill my opponent, but I don't want to spend 3 attack tokens, so I take the hit they're going to send at me to redraw or spend all 3 coins.
So you have interesting choices then.
Yeah.
Which is what a JRPG really needs.
I mean, JRPG is generous. There's not a plot. It's a fun game, and basically the only way to progress is like you get coins to unlock to different types of characters who engage differently. My favorite so far is the Hermit who thrives off of oh, yeah, the other main mechanic, which the Hermit really needs to do, is donating coins to gods. And there are, like, 5 different gods who affect the loot crates you find differently. So
okay.
Some of them will give you more attack tokens, some of them will give you more status effect ones. But the Hermit takes debuffs from having too many coins. So he can have as much value in coins as he wants, but if you get up to about 20 coins, you are suddenly worse than you would be if you had none at all.
Oh, interesting.
So can you not interact with the world without any coins, though?
You can have no coins. As soon as you get into combat and run out of coins, you lose. That's actually a way to defeat enemies, is by causing them to drop or steal all their coins.
Huh.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's also, like, $5, and there's an
it
expansion.
It seems like if the coins are cards, that would make a better metaphor.
I mean, they've got different pictures and stuff on them.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just cards that you...
Yeah, they're basically just cards. The thing is, though, they're also money, so there are, like, shops you can encounter, kind of Zelda-style, that you have to pick coins out of your bag that are worth certain amounts to barter for items, basically. So you have to say, do I want this thing that increases my defense more than I want all my attack coins that are worth this much?
Anything else?
Oh, yeah, so not a whole lot of anything else. I mean, a lot of Splatoon. I made it all the way back up to A rank, finally. I'm almost at A+. I need, like, 2 more wins.
So you know what'll happen?
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to go in a downward spiral.
You'll go on tilt and completely fail.
Yep.
Pressure too good.
Yay!
Although Alex came up with an excellent idea to, like, draw... So people have remarkably good drawings in Splatoon.
Every Nintendo... they have a magic... They put a wizard on the Wii U network who just finds the good drawings and delivers them to everyone. And banishes the dick pics to wherever banished magic cards go.
My argument is that they just display the ones that have the highest number of upvotes.
Could be.
But, and good pictures get upvotes. But
dick pics don't.
Yeah. Although you can also flag stuff as inappropriate if you find it, so if you actually care about moderating content, you could do that. I'm not sure who would do that, but Alex came up with the idea of, based on Zach's comment a couple weeks ago about having to wear bigger carry pants, like drawing a picture of my squid wearing these giant cargo pants with a couple other squids poking out of it.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
But no, nothing particularly exciting other than Coin Crypt, which I highly recommend. So, Jeremy, since you haven't told us what you've been playing yet, what have you been playing?
I've been playing games I've always been playing. I actually had a really busy week. So I played some Bravely Default. I kind of gave in and just got the bad ending. I think I'm getting the bad ending just sets you right to the choice point, though. It does not free you.
What? That is really weird.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. Also, the bad ending is way better than, like, any Shinten ending, so...
Well, that's because Shinten endings are pretty much all universally, the world is destroyed, congratulations, loser.
I actually like one of Devil Survivor's endings is you become God and then proceed to do nothing with it. You basically, like, scoop profits off the top of major corporations. So
I'm God! Yay!
I'm gonna go sleep on my parents' couch.
Pretty much.
The bad ending is... You defeat the giant space flea out of nowhere, but it warns you that because you didn't get the good ending, an even gianter, more out of nowhere space flea will be coming in a couple million years, and if the heat death of the universe hasn't happened yet, everyone will be screwed.
So it's Lavos?
I don't know.
What?
Man.
That sounds really dumb.
Yeah, the second half of Bravely Default is not so great. In particular, because the way you get the good ending is by ignoring everything that's going on and continuing to do the exact same thing you've been doing, like, four times.
Huh. To wait for your characters to figure out what the hell they're doing?
No, they figured it out, and going and doing something about it leads to the bad ending.
What?
Yep.
What?
That makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Well, so... The way they justify having to do things multiple times is that you're going to different, very similar universes,
yes, you
right?
keep going to parallel universes.
Why would you keep doing that knowing that it's destroying
things? I don't
know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, okay.
It's
hopefully Default Bravely will be better.
Bravely second.
Yeah, I
it's already
remember
out.
Its name.
So. It's not out here, though. I assume it'll come out because Bravely Default sold pretty well, and the first half is really good. So that and Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, yeah.
Continues to be Metal Gear Solid 5. I've actually not played much. Mostly I've just done side missions because it gets into this loop where doing side missions, I interrogate people and they tend to give me new side missions.
So if you really like side missions, it's the game to play?
Yeah.
Although, are you still kidnapping people for your base?
Yep.
Are there a finite number of side missions or do they seem randomly generated?
There are a finite number. I just figured out yesterday that basically the game will always make sure you have a side mission in every region. So I'm like, oh, these ones seem really familiar because I actually have been repeating them. It was just, I was stupid and not looking where the game tells you, hey, you've already done this one, bro.
Gotcha.
And there are a couple hundred, so even though they are limited, they're...
Yeah, even if they're kind of samey, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, and there are like eight distinct types, and they try to unlock one of each at the same time, so...
So you can always go and choose to do your favorite?
I establish a combat team. I can't take them with me, but I can send them to do jobs on their own to get me paid money, or to... stop the distribution of helmets among my enemies, which are the most annoying thing.
What?
They prevent me from headshotting people with the trank gun.
That's a thing where they actually distribute helmets?
You can send your mercenaries under you to attack different supply lines. And helmets is one of the choice.
Yeah, so
rocket launchers is one of the choice, but helmets are way more annoying than rocket launchers.
I'll say, if they don't have helmets, they won't ever be able to get to their rocket launchers.
Exactly. If they don't have helmets, I'll just shoot them with the trank gun and won't need to call them the chopper, so they won't use their missiles.
Exactly.
I mean, you could just use a bucket as a helmet. It's not like it's hard.
Well, yeah, but if you're like a stationed security guard, would you really just go and say, I'm worried that someone's going to shoot me in the head with a tranquilizer dart. I'm going to put a bucket on my
head. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my pistol could penetrate a bucket.
If you're paranoid.
Yeah, I don't think they... Well... No, someone who's extremely paranoid would actually be a bad guard because there would be a bunch of false alarms. So you just stop listening to them.
And speaking of kidnapping people, I realized you need upgrades for this. But I realized Metal Gear Solid 5 is a game where you can sneak up on a tank, attach a balloon to it, and it's your tank now. And what? It just goes flying away. And that's seriously? One less tank to deal with, and one more tank you can call in to drive around shooting dudes with.
Oh my god, that is awesome!
How big a balloon are you carrying?
You have to get the Photon Max upgraded, but...
That is amazing!
It's so good.
That would be like priority one for me. I'm gonna take this tank.
Exactly. You sneak up on the tank. It can be even be in combat alert, but if it doesn't see you, you can still do it. Like, I believe you can even do it if it is shooting you, if you do it quickly enough.
Who leaves this perfectly good tank here?
Yep.
You know what? I'm taking this.
You also
I'm
get the guy the tank. In it. That's pretty secondary, though.
I'm taking this. I'm taking this tank.
I can just imagine someone coming up to do a parlay with him, and like they walk up, and there's just like a pyramid of tanks from all the tanks he's stolen that he's just sitting in.
The one problem is troops will shoot balloons, so it can be tricky to do if you have troops nearby, especially ones with machine guns. I did once have a tank dropped on me because I tried that, and one of the soldiers was like, nope. Not letting you get away with this.
Wasted.
So yeah, pretty good. I don't want to say it's all over the place tone-wise, because that's intentional for Metal Gear, but it's kind of weird that the opening scene where I was in the hospital and it was kind of horror movie-ish, and there are these weird guys, and the main villain is named Skullface, and you don't get any points for guessing why. It's weird that that game is the same game where I sneak up on tanks, attach balloons to them, and add them to my army.
But that's not a story tonal thing. That's you doing something that you find fun.
Yeah, but
honestly,
like,
I'd be trying
the game
to steal
encourages
every tank
you
I
to
found.
Do this.
It's kind of the same thing with the Elder Scrolls, right? Because like they're all the side quests where people are like, someone's been sneaking to my pumpkin patch, and you find out there's like a bizarre love triangle and you have to go like plant a ring on someone. There are equally weird things in other sandbox.
Well, I like
games.
How in Oblivion it's really fun because like the gates to Oblivion are basically gates to hell are opening all over Tamriel. I'm gonna go investigate this this love triangle over here. Or I'm gonna go find out what's in this cave. Well, but the world is going to end. This cave is very important, I think.
There's better loot in this cave than there is through that portal.
Well, and Metal Gear has always been a story about the horrors of war and how much it sucks to be a soldier, in which a cardboard box is the pinnacle of sneaking technology. So this isn't new, but it's extreme because like missions 2 through 9 don't advance the story at all. And I'm playing all these side quests. So when I get to one of these super serious missions where like I go to a hospital and it's all a bunch of kids who are like dying and being made into super soldiers.
And
it's
you're like,
really
where did that
totally
come from?
Dissonant. I'm like, oh yeah, this movie or this game this started with, it doesn't feel like a movie.
I think that Freudian slip there just hits upon Kojima's game.
Yeah, so. Kojima, but like this one doesn't, maybe that's the problem because the first hour of it kind of feels like a Kojima game. You're doing a lot of gameplay, but it's like a Call of Duty game, one of the modern ones where you're going from plot point and seeing all this story happen, and then it becomes this crazy game where it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to attach balloons to tanks? Do you want to sneak through a base and knock a bunch of people out to send them to your base?
Do you want to send your force of mercenaries to go knock out somebody's helmet factory?
Yeah, and then a Metal Gear drops on you and Skullface is monologuing at you, or you like see some child soldiers and it just like does a 180.
You know what would be amazing? If you could sneak up on a Metal Gear, attach a balloon to it, and steal it.
I kind of wondered if I could.
These nukes are mine now.
There are mini Metal Gears called Walker Gears, and you can do it to them.
Awesome.
But, although, do they have nuclear armament?
No.
Although
not yet, they don't.
I know you can get nukes in the game, but they might only be usable in multiplayer. I'm not really sure. Because one of the things you can buy with real money in multiplayer is insurance. So if your stuff gets stolen, it'll be given back to you. But it's like, insurance does not cover nuclear weapons. I'm like, well, what is even the point? Yeah, and that's all for me. Besides the assignment, which I actually played a decent amount of given my limited video game time, Super Castlevania IV, the spookiest game we've played in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm really sad Clock Tower isn't available.
Yeah, me too, because I kind of want to play that.
I don't know what a clock tower is.
It's a giant structure with a clock in it.
Like Big Ben? Have you seen Big Ben? I think you can build it in Civilization.
Yeah, he plays in Pittsburgh.
Anyway, Super Castlevania IV. It's a kind of a remake of Castlevania 1 with a long adventure before you get to the castle.
There are definitely a lot. Yeah, the castle is definitely very similar. There are definitely callbacks to the first one.
I wouldn't know. I both didn't get to the castle and didn't play Castlevania 1.
So the biggest difference is that the controls are just much, much easier for you. You can adjust your jump mid-jump a little bit. Not as much as like a Mario game, but
I feel like my jump arc is cheating on me, honestly, because I was committed to it.
It's just in an open relationship.
I guess technically I'm cheating on it because I'm the one violating the jump arc.
That's normal for me.
Violating jump arcs?
Yes.
And your whip can now go in 8 directions. You can only go in the down ones if you're in the air,
Remember how in the first Castlevania we were talking about how great all the sub-weapons are because they allow you to attack in different patterns that your whip can't reach?
Your whip can do everything.
I don't think a whip is a very good weapon to begin with. Just wanted to make sure you got that on record.
It only deals subdual damage.
Yeah.
It's only like 2d4 subdual damage anyway, yeah.
I would also like to point out that you can now do the Sheik from Melee thing where you just like wave your whip around uselessly.
But it does half the damage of the regular whip. Again, that's a thing that was added because they intended to make the game much harder, and they wanted to give you that to defend yourself, but then the way the sprites interacted, they were too big, so making it hard made it really hard, so they made everything way easier, and I think a bunch of the things you can do just ended up being kind of useless, because the way the game is, your whip can handle almost anything.
Yep.
Especially since we talked in the first Castlevania about how whip power-ups are so prevalent, it almost feels like you should always have the max whip. That's even more true in this one. I almost always had it.
Is it max whip just two upgrades?
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you die, the first couple candles you generally whip will drop the whip upgrades again.
Yep. And there are lots of candles because it's Castlevania.
Makes it kind of pointless that you have to upgrade it at all. Although you get it back immediately.
They're way more generous with drops in general, I feel. And because the sub-weapons aren't super useful, you don't go through hearts as much. I remember in the first Castlevania, I'm like, oh, I should conserve these hearts. Oh, no, I need to throw my daggers, otherwise I'm going to die. In this game, I'm like, yeah, I can hold on to these daggers for a while.
Also, the controls, the only thing they've added from the NES is the sub-weapon button. They put it on one of the shoulders for some reason, which is odd when you have two face buttons unused.
To be fair, you've got one thumb doing jump and whip, and
But you need the sub-weapon so rarely, like... Yeah. It's not bad, it's just that's the last button I tried.
Yeah, it did take me a while to figure out what sub-weapon was. I'm glad they moved away from up and attack, though, because I always accidentally used it because of that.
Well, yeah, that's whip up now, so.
Oh, that's true, yeah, they couldn't do that.
The game is just easier, and I think a lot less satisfying.
So I mean,
I thought it was still hard, but I got to like level 5, so I guess that says something.
I mean, it's definitely not super easy, it's easier.
It was easy enough for me to beat two bosses.
It was easy enough, but by the time I felt challenged, I felt like it was kind of cheap.
That's true. So a thing I noticed, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up, I had some weird input lag while playing this, and I wasn't sure if that was part of the game or just the computer.
I don't remember any, but it always seemed like the whip came out slower than I really needed it to.
That's always been true. But I felt like I kept mistiming jumps because, like, my character would keep walking after I let go of walk left.
The only time that happened to me was on the spinning room. For those of you who don't know, this game is very graphically intense. And one of the more, I guess, famous parts is there's a room where you're in, like, a spinning cylinder that looks really, really good. But I definitely noticed some lag in there because I think they were really pushing the Super Nintendo. That was the only time I noticed
it. Oh, yeah, it looks fantastic.
It might have just been this laptop, then.
I thought it was insanely bored.
Yeah.
It doesn't have enough challenge is the problem. It feels kind of like a Genesis game. Not quite all the way, but it's really, really pretty. The thing is that when you get hit, it still feels like you get hit, like in Castlevania. So it's not that bad. It's just easier. They keep the levels fresh. They keep throwing new challenges at you. But most of the times when I died, I would immediately get through that level the next time because I knew where everything was. There was no, like, skill mastery. There was no panicking and trying to get all the buttons inputs right. It was, oh, this is what's up. Okay, I won't get fooled again.
There were a couple. Like, there's this one part. So they added a new swinging mechanic where there are, like, grapple points, basically, for your whip. It's not great. I feel like it doesn't give you the mobility I really want from something like that, but it's all right.
I would definitely agree with that.
I actually think the swinging works pretty well. It's just they only use it a couple of times, which makes things feel fresh. They're never really sending enemies at you while you're swinging, but they kind of can't because there's nothing you can do.
I always felt like...
Can you use your special while swinging?
I never tried.
I didn't try either, but it always felt like the hitbox on the swing parts was a little wonky.
My biggest problem is I didn't feel like I swung far enough once I let go.
Okay, what Zach's saying is kind of true. It is a little weird hitting onto it, but again, I don't feel like they really ever give you a point where you have to jump and hit it or you're going to die.
I never had any real problems. I did have one where I accidentally let go of the whip a little bit too early and fell because this game still has the, if it goes off screen, it no longer exists that the other Castlevanias that we played had, which is still kind of, in my opinion, a stupid mechanic.
I would not call that a mechanic so much as a technical limitation. One that should probably arguably not be in this game because it's on the Super Nintendo. It has the memory.
Just like saves should be a thing in this game.
Yep.
Like previous Castlevanias, it's not that big a deal because you can continue as many times as you want. And any modern emulator, even a legal one like the Wii has, you're going to continue from where you left off.
Yep. The reason I brought up the grapple points, in addition to the fact that you can raise yourself up and down, there is actually a room where that it's like a rotating.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. There's this weird room where the room around you rotates and you have to latch on so you don't hit spikes as it does so, which is a cool gimmick. It looks really cool, but man, I don't like the design of that room. Actually, that's the first place I got stuck. It's because I didn't know what the game wanted me to do.
I didn't get to that room.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because that was the one part that I felt like I actually had to, like, get my reaction speed and whipping down, because it sends Medusa heads at you from both sides as part of the rotating challenge. But there's a lot of, what am I supposed to do here? Do I have to kill them? Do I have to make a leap of faith? Like,
and I tried the leap of faith about 12 times before I figured out this isn't what the game wants me to do.
And then once you kill them and the room continues rotating, suddenly your platform disappears and you're like, okay, what do I do now? And it turns out you have to wait for like 30 seconds for a new platform to appear for you. You can hear it coming in the distance as it pops out of the wall. It's not great. It's poorly designed because it gives you no heads up what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like the same problem we have with Payday. Waiting while you're succeeding is not a great mechanic.
No, but at least sometimes in Payday you feel like you're doing something active even while you're waiting for stuff to happen.
Like, Zach and I did Go Bank recently, and that was, like, we were actively doing stuff while waiting, but at least there's tension. In this, it's, I'm holding the button so I don't accidentally drop into a spike pit.
Also, I want to talk about the bosses, because the bosses in the original Castlevania are great. They're all Universal Monster movies and death, and I guess Medusa's in there too, huh?
Yep.
And a bat.
And a bat.
Okay, but those are the ones that suck. There's also Frankenstein and mummies, and of course Dracula and death. This one, they just don't feel as important. There's a skeleton on a horse, which is kind of cool, and it's cooler than the bat. But after that is Medusa, and she doesn't feel as big, because Medusa in the first one is
really
a giant
easily.
Head. This one, it's the full body, but it's not very big.
I feel like I just killed her with holy water and called it a day.
I did not do particularly well, but I got past her. I just face tanked it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest problem is, like ActRaiser, most of the bosses can be beaten by face tanking.
And in the original, there was a feeling of, oh man, I want to save this sub-weapon because it's super helpful against this boss. And a lot of the skill is not beating the levels, but beating them without using the different sub-weapons.
And not accidentally picking one up you don't want.
So you can have the right one at the boss.
The giant floating skull thing, that one was really cheap, I felt.
You can actually hit the things falling down on you. For those who don't know, it's just this skull that when you hit him, rocks fall on you and you take damage. You can destroy the rocks, but the timing on it is really weird. And yeah, I don't think that's a very good boss either. Then there's the giant statue, which is cool as like a visual thing, I guess.
Oh,
but
I forgot him.
I did not
he's
know
not
he
very
existed.
Interesting. None of the bosses are very interesting. Maybe Dracula's better. We didn't get to him. And I know death is in this one, but
the last one I got to was just actually a pretty decent one, was the Hydra.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. He's actually pretty good, because the way the Hydra works is there's like some bottomless pits on the bottom of the screen. They're kind of small, but you have to avoid them. And there are two heads that you can hit.
And they both have different attacks. One's a close range attack, and one's a long range attack. It's actually pretty good. I like that fight. I had the wrong sub-weapon for it. And actually, the axe would have been great.
Yeah, the axe is really good.
I think that's probably the first boss where having the right sub-weapon would have really helped.
The axe is useful against the giant rock guy, too.
I forgot what I had against him. I don't know. I just whipped him to death. So, whip it.
Whip it good.
I'm running out of whip jokes. It's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one, right?
I have to make one up for every single Castlevania episode.
There's got
to
be a Dominatrix one that you haven't thought of.
Oh, that's true. I haven't done that.
Rose whip? Have you done a rose whip joke?
No, I haven't. Although I did do an Indiana Jones joke already, so that's... But rose whip, that's a good one. Only good for Yu Yu Hakusho fans.
A whipped cream pun?
I've done that.
Oh, okay.
Not only did I use it in the episodes that are actually about Castlevania, I also use it when we were ranking those episodes.
Ah. Anything else to say about this one? This is probably one of the most disappointing games we've played for the podcast for me in a long time.
I was actually looking forward to it because Egoraptor seemed to like it fairly favorably.
Hit right where I expected it.
It's the Angry Video Game Nerd's favorite Castlevania, and he really
He's
likes
wrong.
Castlevania. Yes, he is. This one was really underwhelming in my opinion.
I don't know, my biggest problem is that the sub-weapons seem useless now, which is actually kind of my complaint about Symphony of the Night.
And it seems too easy. Like, Symphony of the Night, I guess, is also a little easy, but it adds new types of challenges,
it's
right?
An exploration game more than it is a precision platformer. Also, a little bit, how do I abuse the mechanics to move in weird ways, but...
Man, what was I saying at the beginning? I've had a really good summation about my feelings of this game and cannot remember it now.
It's the most disappointing
Decent
one so
sound,
far.
Terrible game.
Decent? It's not a terrible game. It's just really mediocre in a franchise that's been really, really good to this point. I guess
really,
2 out of 3
really
ain't
good.
Even Castlevania 2 I actually kind of like.
I think the first one is by far the strongest entry.
No, I agree.
I have actively disliked every Castlevania I've played so far.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd like the first one, but it at least has merits.
I feel like the third one has merits as well. even the second one has merits. It just, the second one doesn't add up to
a
full
good
game.
That's fair.
But this game, it's just, it's too easy, I think. The challenge, by the time the challenge shows up, really, it's kind of too late. The other of the bosses are interesting until the very late game, which is after I got to it. I've talked before about Genesis problems, and this game doesn't quite have them, but it's kind of close to them. It's a spectacle game. And
yep.
The challenges early on are all about figuring out what's going to happen. And once you sort of realize, oh, these rocks fall and kill me, I just need to avoid them. There's not really a challenge anymore. It's not hard. You don't get anything like that room right before death in Castlevania where you have the two sets of Medusa heads flying
room.
At you while you're fighting a knight throwing axes. And you have just a very small amount of safe space that's constantly changing, and you have to stay there while attacking the enemy. There's
that
nothing that good.
Really, really annoying.
It's
every
really
time
hard.
I've heard you guys talk about it,
Zach,
I get more annoyed.
Describe your favorite encounter in a first-person shooter.
Huh?
Do you have a favorite encounter in a first-person shooter?
I'd never thought about it.
One of my favorite parts of games is mastery elements and the precision that that particular scenario required.
And it's all stuff you've done before, but they're just putting it together.
Yep.
Now you have to face the drums, the bass, and the guitar all at the same time.
That's one of my favorite parts about the first Mega Man Wily Castle is it takes one element from each of the mans so far, and you have to like put it all together. It's a nice culmination thing.
All right, so are we ready to put it on our list then?
Think so. I think I like it better than Castlevania 3.
Like I said, I actively dislike it, so that's
Did
no
you
different.
Dislike it more than the other ones, though?
I got farther in this one. So, I mean, that's most
thing.
Certainly a thing.
All right, well, before we talk about it, we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeinvideogames.com, ranking all the games we've played. At the top isn't Castlevania. It's another C game, Chrono Trigger. Castlevania is number 5, for the record, so it's pretty up there. This game will not land so high. At the very bottom, we have Space Harrier. Which, you know, poor Space Harrier.
Not really.
It deserves every ounce of shame it gets.
Ah, man, I don't know. In the middle, we have Final Fantasy. That's an okay game. This game maybe goes above that. But like you said, Castlevania 3. Zach, do you like it more than Castlevania 3? Less than? It's prettier?
More.
I generally like it more than Castlevania 3. They added some new elements.
Like I said, I could get somewhere in this game.
Honestly,
I generally like games I can make progress in.
I thought you got about as far in Castlevania 3, though, when we talked about it last. It seemed like you got a couple levels in.
I got stuck in a clock tower, which just started really annoying me with jump arcs.
All right, so above Castlevania 3, then, let's look. What do we got? That's platformer. A couple above that is Kirby's Dream Land 2. Kirby's Dream Land 2 has the cool animal companions and cool powers.
Is that one that we called Useless Hamster Dreams?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's the one on the Game Boy. It's the first one with the hamster and the owl and the fish.
Okay.
If nothing else, I kind of prefer the animal companions in Kirby.
It's a little more creative. We talked about how this game is kind of too easy. It's not as easy as Kirby, but I think it gets hurt for the same reasons, and Kirby's a little more creative. What do you think, Tyler?
I think I actually kind of agree. If nothing else, Kirby is intended to be easy, and it gives you things that capitalize upon that. This game was not really intended to be easy and is therefore just kind of boring.
Huh. So we've got 5 games between them. What do we want to look at? I'm tempted to say Pokemon Snap, but I think it's pretty much worse than Pokemon Snap. Pokemon Snap is just a game intended to be easy.
Wild Guns.
Without much tension. I don't really know how to compare it to Wild Guns. They're both Super Nintendo games. They're both kind of pretty.
I mean, neither is particularly challenging. There's arguably more going on in Wild Guns in terms of stuff on screen.
I preferred Wild Guns, though.
I do, too. There's actually kind of a mastery element there. You have to pay a lot of attention if you want to not get hit.
And co-op is a thing. And also, learning the controls. The controls could kind of get in your way in Wild Guns if you weren't careful.
I would argue that's probably to its detriment, but...
I think it's kind of the same thing for both of them.
What's really wrong with the controls of Super Castlevania 4, though?
I don't think there is really anything wrong with the controls of Super Castlevania 4. There is in Wild Guns, though.
There tends to be a little bit sluggish on your offensive options and your defensive options.
But that's intentional.
Yeah, that's made. It's supposed to be a slow plod. I don't think you have to play this game as one, though, and I don't think I like it as much for that because you can just plow through enemies.
All right, so how do we think it compares to Final Fantasy 2? That's a weird point of comparison. Final Fantasy 2 has more plot going on, but the beginning is way more boring.
That is true. Yeah, I'm going to have to give it to Final Fantasy on grounds of mass genocide.
There's mass skeleton genocide.
They're already dead. It doesn't count.
More stuff to do, I guess, in Final Fantasy II.
Yeah, I actually feel like there is a broader scope of action available. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but it feels like it's true. So.
All right, we'll put it below Final Fantasy II. Do we think it's better than Hydro Thunder? I do, but I didn't really like Hydro Thunder that much.
I really like Hydro Thunder, and I really don't like this game.
I'm actually going to have to side with Zach on that. I actually kind of enjoyed Hydro Thunder.
So, Zach, you didn't really talk about it. Before we quit, why do you not like this game so much?
Why don't I like this game?
Yeah.
It's just, in general, I don't tend to like two-dimensional side-scrolling games. I don't like games that try to make themselves difficult for no other reason than to make themselves difficult. And, like I said, the offensive options being slower to come out than I would expect really hurt my enjoyment. The fact that I can't use multiple options to deal with the situation,
so it's
I
like
really don't care for.
I mean, that's pretty much how you describe most 2D games, is you dislike the lack of ability to move in a third dimension. It seems like it's mostly a choice thing, and it limits them a lot.
That's actually a very, very good way to put it. That lack of a third dimension tactical option really drives me kind of crazy.
So Super Castlevania 4 will go above, right above Castlevania 3 and below Hydro Thunder.
I also like that it's called Super Castlevania 4 despite being the first Castlevania 4.
I mean,
I think that's just because basically every game on
I
the
know
Super
it's
Nintendo.
Really annoying when trying to download ROMs.
I mean, it's not even, it's kind of weird, right? Because Super Mario was already Super Mario.
Yep.
So that one's not that weird. It's not Super The Legend of Zelda. We do have Super Metroid. But Metroid 3 would be weird because not that many people played the Game Boy one.
Yeah, I think they made the right choice with calling it that because I didn't even know the Game Boy one existed until we did this podcast.
It's weird that this is Super Castlevania 4, not Super Castlevania or Castlevania 4.
Yep.
That is a little odd.
You need to choose one or the other, guys. You can't just add an adjective in front of it. It's not the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, we didn't have Mario 664.
We haven't gotten around to nowadays where pretty much everything has a subtitle.
Or they don't, infuriating everyone. Which Tomb Raider are you talking about?
Like Mortal Kombat.
Which Mortal Kombat are you talking about? People are just going to put a number on it later to make it easier.
Yep. Although, it's not Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 Revenge of the Sith, a machine for pigs.
Oh man, that game's good.
That is actually a pretty good game.
All right, speaking of good games, Zach, what are we going to play next week?
Well, we got those little handhelds, and we aren't getting any use out of them, so I figure we'll go with a game that comes on those. A game I've heard about, mainly I've heard its name. I have no idea what it is. Golden Axe.
I hear it has axes.
Only
probably.
One. All right, so next time on Last Time, did we lose a golden axe?
It's got to be better than
the
silver sword.
Or was it a silver one?
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast.
I do not hold office hours on Thursdays. This is why you need to become a college professor, so you can just have official office hours.
Yeah, and I can just have a giant spider in the office who slays any student that need help. So the class gets progressively smaller. Office hours will just say spider.